Welcome to the 94th episode of the Jamie Delaney Plant-Based Wellness Podcast. My name is Jamie Delaney, and I'm your host. I'm a plant-based cardiologist living in Southwest Florida, and I'm also an endurance athlete. Welcome. Today, I have an interview with Corey Warren of Lean Green Dad. He has a podcast as well as a blog and a website that helps educate families on becoming plant-based and how to manage everyday life, being a plant-based dad and athlete and being involved with his family. So it's a great interview. First of all, I'd just like to talk a little bit about what's going on. I recently came back from the American College of Lifestyle Medicine, and I'll keep the details of what happened there for a later podcast, but it was a good 3 days of education. I learned some things. I learned some things that I wouldn't do. Learned some things that I would like to expand in my own plant-based education practice. So it was a worthwhile event for sure. Last week I talked about having maybe not such a good week. This week was a good week, even though I was a short week. I came back and had some experiences. I guess I experienced some success as far as plant-based nutrition. I finished taking a patient off of his last blood pressure medication after not quite a year of transitioning to a whole food plant-based diet. Cholesterol is wonderful. His blood pressure is wonderful. He's starting to exercise, so that makes my heart very happy. I also have had a 90-year-old that transitioned at 89 and a half, probably, to a plant-based diet because of carotid artery disease. Her surgeon wanted her to have carotid artery surgery, and we talked about how about a trial of plant-based nutrition to see if we could stabilize things out and see how she did. And that is what she selected, and you know, I'm happy to report she came in. She's 100% whole food plant-based. Her daughter said she was up visiting relatives in North Carolina and was working out in the yard picking up sticks, including taking a sledgehammer and busting up some rocks. So and she was very happy. She likes the food. She's bought a bunch of cookbooks. She's making her own meals. So she is certainly an extraordinary 90-year-old that's very passionate about controlling her own health and her own future. I also saw another patient who is successfully controlling her risk factors on a whole food plant-based diet. This has lipids under control. Muscle pain is under control. Her weight is down, and you know, she's looking into different forms of exercise. She cycles at 78. She is looking into start doing push-ups and perhaps Zumba. So you know, there's just no end to the benefits of a whole food plant-based diet, no matter what age you start. And it's, you know, obviously very, very encouraging. You know, as far as the push-up streak goes that I've been doing and posting onto Facebook, you know, I'm now down to I guess day 51. And you know, it's a little bit corny that I, you know, do push-ups with the dog and the cat in the morning and put it on Facebook. But you know, I continue to have people that are following it and trying it. Again, I say it over and over every week, and I guess I continue to say it over and over every week till something happens. But I can't say enough about the mobility and the flexibility that you need to maintain as you get older to be able to get on and off the ground even. And so this 78-year-old she's going to start doing push-ups, and you know, I think it's excellent. You know, you start from the wall, or you start from your knees, and you progress, and it's just a good range of motion and mobility. So again, I encourage everyone to keep moving and keep active. Our class went on its shopping trip this week, so on the third session of every nutrition class, we go to the grocery store, and it's a box store down here. It's Publix this time, and we walk around the produce section mainly and look at vegetables and how to prepare different foods and identify vegetables, and we do some label reading, and we also look at things that you probably should stay away from. I had some interesting feedback that student said, you know, this was great, but I can't remember really what you said, and I didn't have a notebook, so could you write it down? So I guess that's the plan, is to to kind of give people a synopsis of, you know, what we saw and, you know, a few recipes that I kind of alluded to with some of the vegetables and how to combine things, and, you know, what to kind of stay away from as far as, you know, canned foods and processed foods, and how to look at a label and look at the calories and calories from fat, and how, you know, we talked about if you like a dressing, a particular salad dressing, look at the ingredients and see the main ones that are good and recreate them. One student likes poppy seed dressing, so basically, we looked at a poppy seed dressing, and you know, I promised to make that for the next class, and she's going to try too. But you know, it's basically apple cider vinegar and poppy seeds and orange juice and something to make it a little creamy. So I think we'll try the combination of sunflower seeds and white beans and see what we get. But you know, we'll work on it till we get a poppy seed dressing that you know, makes her happy and something that she'll go to. The one that was in the package was just horrible. It contained dairy, it contained oil, it contained a bunch of preservatives. So, you know, I think we can do a whole lot better. You go to all the trouble to eat a salad with kale and Brussels sprouts and carrots and, you know, all kinds of great vegetables, and then you put, you know, a poison on top of it. It's very high in calories and oil that, you know, it basically negates it. And I think that's where we all forget, you know, a lot of times is, well, I'm eating a lot of greens, but if you're putting bad stuff on the greens, it's not such a great idea. You know, the other thing is cheese sauces, you know, non-cheese cheese sauces. And, you know, I think one of the best ones is the butternut squash cheese sauce, because it's made with butternut squash, you know, so almond milk, butternut squash. You can use a few cashews and nutrition if you want or not, and nutritional yeast and garlic, and it makes a great cheese sauce, and it's healthy. And you put that on the greens, and it, you know, maybe it will distract your family from this being a big plate of greens to it's a big plate of orange cheese sauce, and everybody's happy. You can put it on a baked potato, broccoli, kale, cauliflower. And again, you can eat the whole thing. You can even just eat the cheese sauce and it's still healthy. So that's great. You know, you never, hopefully never think about eating real cheese as a cheese sauce out of the bowl, but you know, certainly the butternut squash cheese sauce you can. Yes, I'm sitting here thinking about what I'm going to make for dinner. I was kind of thinking about greens, and you know, as I transition to a plant-based diet, I've always liked spinach cooked or sauteed by itself or sauteed with mushrooms and garlic. And I've always kind of saved spinach for that. And, you know, I buy fresh spinach. And typically it was at the grocery store and organic in the box. And then I discovered organic spinach that was long leaf that I got at my produce store. And it was so good and sweet, I started eating it raw. And it was so good, I didn't even, you know, even need anything on it. I could just sit there and actually eat it. But I enjoyed also putting salsa on it or, you know, making it part of my salad as opposed to using lettuce. And so I've got to the point where I've been eating like a bunch of, you know, when I say a bunch, a whole bunch when you buy the organic, you know, bundled portion of spinach every week. And I was thinking about greens that I was going to have for dinner tonight. And I thought, well, I have some spinach left. And it's like, no, I'd rather have that raw. So it's kind of funny how your taste buds change, because probably 2 years ago, it's like, oh, man, I really don't want to eat spinach raw because it, you know, it kind of leaves a film in your mouth. And, you know, I just find it tough and it's not very tasty. But I couldn't think any differently, you know, from that now. So, you know, even my taste buds have changed and evolved that, you know, there's some things that I just actually prefer raw. And actually, if I think of dishes or I look on Instagram at dishes, the uncooked dishes, the more vibrant colors of foods are really more attractive to me than cooked dishes. So it's, you know, it certainly is an evolution of how you're eating and your taste buds at any stage. I harvested my first papaya off my papaya tree this week. I'm so excited. Wasn't very big. It was about the size of a softball, but it ripened up nicely and it was sweet as sugar. And I, you know, really enjoyed it. I ate the whole thing in one sitting, so it wasn't that big. I didn't share any with my dogs. I'm sorry, but it wasn't that big. And I had the whole thing for breakfast. But I was so excited. So there's like five or I think there's actually, you know, upwards of nine hanging on this particular little papaya tree. And there's another one starting to get papaya. So, you know, it's my first successful fruit harvest. So I'm very excited about that. My okra plants continue to flourish. So we're freezing okra. I've pickled some okra. And last night I put okra in the dehydrator with the marinade that I use on my eggplant bacon. So I'll see how that turns out and report in. I also have a jicama that's almost ready to harvest. Actually, there's two. And we continue to get poblano peppers and these red hot peppers that, you know, are probably a bohemian pepper that's very, very hot. And we've made some sauces out of, or we've actually pickled it and put it in jars to use. So that's really great to put a tiny spoonful in things and heat it up. Microgreens are starting to do well since it's this cooling down here in Florida. So I have beet microgreens and Swiss chard microgreens coming up, as well as sunflower sprouts. So that's a great thing to add to salads to give it different flavors. It also makes a dish prettier to add that onto the dish. And harvested, you know, sweet potatoes keep flourishing. So the garden is growing good. We have some bean plants coming up. So it's a great time of year to be in Florida, and we're now experiencing weather conditions that are in the, you know, high mid-80s and into the 60s at night, so the plants aren't suffering so much. From a training aspect, I'm just getting back, you know, still kind of recovering from the Ironman and been running every day. It was nice at the American College of Lifestyle Medicine. They had a little 5K, and there was a lot of people that came down after the sessions were over and ran around Naples for 3.1 miles. So it was nice to see a lot of people joining in and running. But that's pretty much all I've been doing is running every morning, and the dogs each get their turn, so they're happy. And probably get back to swimming. Our next race is in California, the California International Marathon in the first part of December. And then we've signed up for the Miami Marathon in January, which is not that far away. My daughter will be joining us on that. And so things are going good from a running standpoint. So I just have to keep the cross training up and do a little strength training, keep the push-ups going, keep the core going, and hopefully that'll be good. So I think now we'll transition into the interview with Corey Warren. Again, Corey is a dad that he does most of his work from home. He has a website called leangreendad.com. And he's on all social media, and as well as Twitter at Lean Green Dad. So take time to check out his website and his podcast. He has some recipes posted. He's got a book coming out, so you'll have to watch for that. And he's got a lot of information for young families that are either plant-based with new children or transitioning their family over to plant-based, and how you pull it off and how you prepare meals in a for a busy lifestyle. Because that's really what it's all about, is being able to feed your family healthy and at a reasonable price. So he has a lot of good tips. You know, I think if there was one tidbit that you know, we talked about that I'd add as far as looking back when my daughter was young, is that we always took time to eat dinner as a family, and I think that's so important. In family life, it doesn't have to be a fancy dinner, but if you all sit down together, you have time to talk and you're interacted and you stay connected. So if you add, you know, plant-based nutrition with that, it's a win-win situation. So without further ado, let you listen to Corey. Corey. welcome Lean and Green dad, Corey Warren. Corey is a man after my own heart. He's a plant-based endurance athlete and dad, and is doing a wonderful job with his blog and podcast on educating the world about it's okay to be a lean and green dad and everybody survives. So welcome.
Oh, thank you. I'm so glad to be here, and just so great to be on the show. Thank you for having me.
I read a little bit about your story, and you and your wife basically adopted a plant-based diet when your wife had some health issues. Is that right?
Yes. She was diagnosed with ulcerative colitis, which I'm sure folks are familiar with, is an IBD disorder, along with Crohn's and colitis. Those two are the two main ones there. And when she was diagnosed, we found out that there weren't as many resources out there as we wanted to find out how this, disease happened, where it manifested. And then over time, we decided from lots of reading and research, and of course, very similar to you, the Forks Over Knives documentary, that life-changing documentary, that we wanted to change what we ate. The food that we put in our body had to have some effect on digestive tract issue, and seemed to work. You know, when you're originally diagnosed with these diseases, you're told that you have to take medication for the rest of your life. But that's strictly a Western doctor that's saying information that they know from medical school, which makes tons of sense. But there was some responsibility on our behalf that we needed to do that involved changing our diet, and it worked out for the best.
Yeah, that's a big step. How did you come about Forks Over Knives? Is somebody, because it's not, typically it's, I think of it as being more people already have, coronary artery disease and come across. What led you to that? Were just like researching documentaries and just happened to fall upon it, or?
It's interesting. I honestly cannot remember, and that's not very interesting to say in a podcast, but I think, when you start Googling things and you start finding research, the Engine 2 brand and Forks Over Knives and Rip, I connected with Rip Esselstyn, instantly because he was a triathlete, which I was, and also he's a young father, which I am. Our kids are roughly the same age, and Rip's become a good friend now, so it's been really great to see, the heart disease thing definitely spoke to us. But more than that, it was just the overall inflammation and also the animal cruelty. And, as you keep learning more and more and more, you fully adopt this lifestyle. And at first it was a vegan thing, right? We're vegan. We're going to be strictly vegan. But then it kind of transitions to whole food, plant-based. And that in my eyes, is obviously the best way that anyone could eat, that whole food, plant-based diet. But, having young kids, we need to transition every now and then back to vegan, and maybe have a little bit of oils and stuff like that. But it's very few and far between in our house.
And that's great. And, your children are young, so that gives you a little bit of a head start as opposed to changing everybody. I know in my practice when I, it is traditionally an older practice, but there are some people with teenagers or teenage grandkids, and that's when everybody panics is, oh, the grandkids are coming to town. What do? We have to revert back to our fast food ways. And,
right.
I'll tongue in cheek it occasionally and say, you want to kill your grandkids? But nobody ever thinks about that. They just think about being, growing up, my grandmother was, she demonstrated her love through cooking and made, fantastic food, including very rich desserts. And, every turn you had, there was a plate of food waiting for you. And so we tend to do that as parents and grandparents and forget about the nutrition aspect of it.
It's true. I mean, food is so very personal and it's so social, when you're out with friends, or for us, it was with family. We have, my wife, Jen's parents, and then we have my parents. And when we decided to make this switch, that had a huge impact on our family dynamic because, we would sit around the table and eat meals together. Way back in the day, I'd be really great on the grill. I'd make chicken and grilled chicken and everything else. And, everybody would always, oh, Corey, the chicken's so great and everything else. And, But you know, when that switch happened, and we were putting vegetables on the grill, it was a little weird to them. They're like, you know, where's the meat? We miss the meat. And then the conversation of where do you get your protein happens, naturally, which totally makes sense. But navigating those family waters was difficult for us, but we had to remind them. And I just did a blog post about this recently. You know, it's all about love. This entire plant-based lifestyle is all about love, and love for the animals, love for the planet, and love for each other. You know, we're nourishing each other with foods that are so wonderfully micronutrient dense that we want you to be around longer. We want you to be healthy. We want you to be happy and be in our lives longer. And that's one of the greatest gifts I can give to my kids, you know, as a father. And the whole reason behind Lean Green Dad is keeping those kids healthy and out of the doctor's office. It's not a regular thing to be going to the family doctor every 2 weeks, you know, with the sniffles or a cough or something like that. So, you know, but then again, this has worked for us. This is what's worked for our family. And we'd love to scream from the mountaintops about how wonderful it is. But I do know that with those, there's other wonderful parents out there, but they think that they're too busy. You know, they're too busy to eat healthy. And so that's when the fast food, you know, stopping through McDonald's on the way home from school and stuff like that happens. And so we're trying to fight against that and make it a little bit easier for busy parents.
Well, yeah, and I think that's something really good to touch on. You know, my daughter's grown, and she played sports all of her lives, and I was involved in coaching. But we always made it a point to have our meals together as a family and sit down. And I think that's, you know, that's a big place where I see people go. I guess their health starts to decline because the kids start playing and playing in sports, going to school, having activities, and they start grabbing takeout. And then it's takeout, you know, once a week, then four times a week, and then, you know, pretty much dinner becomes a takeout. So I think I heard you talk about you have a son that does some karate or mixed martial arts. I don't know if all your kids are involved in activities, but what do you do on those days when you're going? Oh, dancing class. That's what I heard.
Yeah.
So what do you do on dance night or, you know, karate night when, you know, you're making a run from school to practice and back? How does that work for you?
Yeah, good. That's a wonderful thing to talk about, and I love it. So I have three crazy kids. My daughter's 8, my son is 5, and my youngest son is 1.5. And my youngest son, my 1-year-old, just started drinking fruit smoothies out of a straw. So that is a huge victory. I know that there's some folks that say you shouldn't drink your calories, you know, you should chew them and stuff. But when you don't have all of your teeth, I think there's an exception for that, you know? So
yeah, I'm pretty sure there's a clause.
So my little boy, Parker, yeah, he's loving his fruit smoothies. And we do, you know, bananas and strawberries, blueberries, mix it in there with some water. And there's not a protein powder necessarily, but there is a greens powder that I use called Green Vibrance to make it a little easier for me to get those greens mixed in there. And a couple other, you know, Vega is a great product that I like to use in my protein smoothies as well, or not protein, but, you know, fruit smoothies. Mm-hmm. For the day. So those are good grab and goes. For my daughter, we make sure she has a massive lunchbox, and I'm talking like a massive igloo lunchbox. It's insulated and it's got several different compartments. There's a compartment for forks and knives. There's a compartment for, you know, drier food so they don't get in contact with the wet foods. And we put some ice blocks in there. She goes to dance for, gosh, I don't know, 5 days a week, and she's there for multiple hours, and it's just her passion. She absolutely loves it. We've always tried to check in with her, like, is this too much? You know, I mean, you're 8 years old and you're dancing 3 hours a day, 5 days a week. Is that normal? But she loves it. It's like a second family. And when she's there, she's got to have the food to sustain herself. So there's this little crock pot. It's a mini crock pot that we have, and we fill it with soup. And it's usually a nice organic lentil soup. Amy's has several great brands out there. that we put in there, and she just plugs it in and it heats right up, and she's got her soup. All of her friends are eating fast food, and she's got this crock pot of lentil soup there that she's eating. And she also just over the last year and a half started eating fresh salads. So I'm able to get romaine lettuce and dice that up and put some chickpeas on top of it and some fresh tomatoes. And sometimes I'll make her some croutons out of Ezekiel toast, toast that real, real crispy and put that on there. And she busts out this huge salad, and she eats it at school. She eats it at dance, everywhere she goes. And she has a blast. So we're very lucky in that respect that she's proud of her plant-based diet, and she's in most of my videos. I mean, the kids are the stars in this thing. I mean, I want other kids to be motivated to, try eating more fruits and veggies at a very basic level. And, it's been cool that she's a big inspiration. And, my son with his MMA, he is doing mixed martial arts. He tried dance for a little bit, but it didn't work with him. He's kind of all over the place. Like most boys, they just like a bundle of energy. So, with him, we make sure to definitely watch any kind of processed sugars. We fuel him with apples and bananas before he goes out onto the mat. And then when he comes home, he's there for a shorter amount of time. So, he'll come home and have a dinner, just whatever we're making for that night. And that's how we do it. It's preparation and, I should say accessories like the, igloo lunchbox and the mini crock pot, which has been a savior for us.
Yeah, that's a good idea. That, and that wouldn't be a bad idea for adults, because, I have people that, some of my teachers that only get a very short lunch break. And, sometimes people do get tired of salads or they don't want to prep them. But certainly, I encourage people to make big pots of soup, which you always have leftovers. And you could use the mini crock pot for that. So that's a great idea.
Oh, yeah. You could do spaghetti in there, too. You could do, noodles, a brown rice noodle with, mixed veggies. That always works well, too. I mean, there's so many things you could put in there just to keep it warm. And it lasts for a while.
Yeah, that's good. I had an interview with a trucker guy, and he actually he used the electric pressure cooker in his truck, and he made his so people can be very ingenious when times call for it. So that's a really, really good idea. And so are you the chief chef of your household?
I am. My wife can definitely cook, but I am mostly the man that does the cooking in the house. Yep.
And so before you get all these people off to their do you find yourself maybe making something in the afternoon, or is it just you have everything there and you're prepped when you get home to get it going?
Well, in a perfect world, on Sundays, I would make salads that are in mason jars. Mm-hmm. And, you put the salad dressing at the bottom and kind of work your way up with the different colorful ingredients. But that doesn't always happen. So in addition to that, we're juicing, fresh vegetables, and I'll juice a bunch, just 10 pounds of carrots and, 20 apples and some ginger all at the same time. And put them in the fridge so they're easy to grab and go. It's all about preparation when you have a busy family. And but like I said, that doesn't always happen. So typically in the mornings, it's absolutely insane. Three kids, trying to get them out the door on time to school by 8:15 is just absolutely insane. So everybody gets their morning smoothie. I consider that kind of their multivitamin, if you will. It's a whole food smoothie, just blended up and fun for kids to sip. We might do, just fresh fruit, oatmeal, over the stove and have that ready and pre kind of poured in the skillet, ready to go. So when we come downstairs, all we have to do is turn it off. And I'll start off with a green tea and, the same thing the kids are eating. And then everybody's off to school. So I make four lunches, three smoothies, three breakfasts, and get them out the door. And that's before I even eat anything. I usually head to the gym in the mornings and do some lifting and strength training and then come back and start my work day here at home. So luckily I work from the house, and it's very lucky situation to be able to, you know, just step out of my office and go to the kitchen and prep a salad or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes it good, because again, you know, you kind of, I would guess, you know, you experience it too. You kind of have to get in the mode of what you're going to cook and have the stuff available and have your pantry set up that you have the beans and rice and lentils to grab from, as mm-hmm. opposed to, oh my God, what am I going to have? I'll just get takeout.
Yeah, that's when you run into trouble. And I mean, you know, if you stock your fridge with the staples, you know, if you think about the things that are easy, we have frozen organic broccoli, you know, the 365 brand that we get from Whole Foods. So you've got frozen broccoli in the freezer and you've got quinoa. Mix those two together. That's a dinner right there. You've got it right there. Even if you just ate the quinoa alone, you've got a complete meal. So, you know, add some fresh orange juice to it or something like that, and you've got a well-rounded little plate there. Those are the things that really come in handy. Having a brown rice, you know, we have the steam brown rice that you can pop in the microwave, but then we also preferably would like to do the rice that takes 25 to 35 minutes to prep in the skillet. But again, it's just judging on that situation. You know, you pop the rice in the microwave, you get the beans going in a skillet or a saucepan on the oven, and then you just mix those two together. You add maybe a little bit of Bragg's liquid aminos, and you've got a solid meal to send the kids to dance with, for you to eat, you know, packed with protein and whole grains, and just absolutely wonderful. And that's where I really specialize, I guess you could say, in making quick whole food plant-based meals that families can love and their kids will love. And so that's what I try to do on a daily basis, is try to make all of this lifestyle a little bit easier, because it's one thing to go from, you know, a serious illness or a heart disease and understand you need to completely change the way you live and think about food. But it's another thing when you have kids who are constantly influenced on the outside by other kids who have treats and sugary snacks in their lunches. You know, teachers are rewarding kids with candy at school, which blows my mind. And, you know, it's like this constant uphill battle. But if you think about it in a more positive way and fuel your kids with the right knowledge and do some good parental marketing, it seems to work out. And it's been great for us so far, but we're still learning every day.
Yeah, I'm smiling to myself. Because, you know, I certainly didn't grow up plant-based either, and I had a terrible sweet tooth. And, you know, I would guess my favorite, and one of my things that my grandmother did for our birthday, we got to pick what kind of cake she was going to make us. And it was, a cake from scratch. And, you know, I mean, just really, my German chocolate was my what I always picked every year after year, you know, just so gooey.
Yeah.
And so fast forward a little bit, my uncle kind of started a second family, and they had a little girl, and they had her first birthday party, and we went down there, her mom made her a carrot cake. And I gotta tell you this, I had never seen or heard tell of a carrot cake. And when at first, you know, I heard the word carrot cake, I was like, how could you ruin a 1-year-old's birthday with a carrot cake? You know what I mean?
Oh,
come
no.
on now. You know, and I'm thinking, and I was like, I just can't, you know, and of course now fast forward and I think, you know, that carrot cake was way too sugary. It should have been,
yeah.
You know, it could have been. But, you know, it's perspective on how you think about things, you know.
Yeah.
I'm sure there are people that, you know, again, like you say, your parents, you know, probably cringed when they couldn't bring a sack of candy to your kids, or you were asking them not to, or, you know, what do you mean you're not having, you know, whatever. And just because it's just so different. But once you're, you know, kind of in the mode, and it's what you know, your taste buds change. And I'm sure your kids are like perfectly happy with the smoothie and all the colored fruits that are on top. They don't need the, you know, red dye number, you know, 187 to make
right.
them happy.
No, they don't. And, you know, again, we talk to them. We have a very open dialogue with them. It's not just, you can't have that. It's, you know, we as the Warrens, our family, we don't eat that way. we don't eat these things. So there's never any kind of exceptions. There's a lot of different ways to do this, and I'm not saying which one's right or wrong, but what works best for us is no deviations. There's never any opportunity for us to be like, well, we're plant-based or vegan, but today, you know, we'll eat the birthday cake that has eggs and milk in it just because it's a special occasion. Like, I feel like that totally blurs the message for young kids. And, you know, so when we go to the party the next time and there's more cake with, you know, egg ingredients or, you know, milk or dairy, and they go, well, why can't we have it this time? We had it last time. You know, I don't understand. It's okay when it's just a treat. And then, you know, you're glorifying these foods that you don't eat. And so it's just better for us to say, you know, we don't eat that way. We don't eat those things. We don't judge others for the way that they eat. But for us, for the Warrens, we don't eat this way. And that works really well. We don't really get a lot of questions from them. We don't get a lot of pushback ever. We mostly get pushback for like vegan candies, right? There's like vegan candies out there that are still tons of processed sugar, but they're like, oh, daddy, come on. It's vegan. Just this once, please. And, you know, I'll explain to them and say, you know, maybe you can have one instead of four or something like that. I mean, you know, I'm not saying my kids never have sugar. That's not realistic for us, but, you know, large amounts of sugar. I mean, you gotta watch their intake. It's my responsibility as a parent to keep them safe, and I'm not gonna put a bunch of white sugar in their body. That makes no sense to me.
Yeah, no, I think it's great. So, you know, turning to yourself, you did an Ironman and you're actively training. Did you notice any difference when you switched?
Oh yeah, immediately. I was recovering so much faster. Back in 2012, I did the half and the full Ironman Florida in the same year. And believe it or not, the half Ironman was my first triathlon ever. I trained just because I knew I wanted to do the full. It was a bucket list item. I had done multiple, you know, half marathons and stuff and liked biking, needed to teach myself how to swim, which I did. And then just, you know, for lack of a better word, just dove in and started going to these triathlete training, you know, groups that meet at 5 a.m. in the morning at the local YMCA, and embarrassed myself with my swimming form and got pulled out of the water and taught how to swim. So it was trial by fire, but it worked out really well. And it's funny, after the half Ironman, I was like, you know, forget this. I'm not doing the full. And I was already signed up. I had already paid the $800 to do it. And my wife's like, no way, you're totally doing the full. And I'm so glad I did, because it was a great experience. You know, through my training, I was able to finish without any serious pain. I mean, obviously, you know, you get the chafing from the bike shorts and stuff, that's going to happen. But ultimately, I felt great afterwards, no injuries throughout the entire training process. And again, I was recovering so much faster. I think I was transitioning to 100% plant-based by the time I was doing the full Ironman. But during the half, I think I was kind of thinking about it and eating less meat. But and of course, that's over a 12-month period. So, yeah, it was wonderful. And today, I'm training to put on a little bit more muscle. So I'm trying to be a bit more public in the sense that I'm a strong vegan, right? I want to be a vegan or a plant-based guy that's got some muscle to him, so I can show people that it is possible to build muscle on a plant-based diet. And I'm doing the New York City Marathon in 2017 for a wonderful nonprofit called Culture City that I partner with. And so I'll be doing that, and I'll probably lose all that muscle I worked on so hard, but it comes with the territory. You know, when you're an endurance athlete, you have a different body than you do when you are doing intense, you know, bodybuilding / strength training. So right now it's a lot of hypertrophy training, and I do that 3 days a week. And then the other 2 days a week, I take the weekends off, but two other days a week, I still keep my endurance in check, kind of hit an anaerobic zone there and try to maintain that capacity in addition to my aerobic capacity as much as I can. But it's fun. I love training. I love working out. And my wife is a good source to help me stay motivated, because, you know, there's so many times you don't want to go to the gym and you're like, oh, come on, I'm so tired. But those are usually the best workouts that I usually have.
Yeah, sometimes it's just if you can just get out the door, you know. You know, I look at it as if I can just get in the car to go swim, I'm good. You know, it's just making it down there. If I can just get my shoes on for the run, I'm good. You know,
it's true.
Of course, sometimes I've even had days where, you know, I'm running down the street, and you know, I live in a little gated community. It's, you know, not even a tenth of a mile to the gate, and it's like, you know, I can still go back to bed.
But you know, I could stop
if I stop right now, and I even try to start doing the math, you know, and get ready for work, but you know, but it never happens. So you know, it's just a matter of getting started. So that's good. Yeah, I did Ironman Florida 2013. I was doing the math in my head as you were talking. It's like, geez, were we in the water at the same time? Because I couldn't remember if I did 12 or 13.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, and, mine was definitely 12. Yeah, November 3rd, 2012, I think it was. Yeah,
so that's awesome. So for a non-swimmer and a new triathlete, that's a pretty intimidating swim entrance when everybody just piles into the washing machine together.
Absolutely terrible. It was the worst part of it. 3,000 person mass start. I was dog paddling for the first half a mile, I think, just because I didn't want to put my head down because I didn't want to get kicked in the face. And, you know, my swim time was just horrible, just horrific, but I didn't care. I mean, my goal was to finish.
Yeah, survive that swim. That's exactly, that was my first Ironman too. And it was, you know, if I can just make it through the swim, I know I'll be okay for the rest of the day. If I can just live through that.
Right. It's true. You know, and, when I, you know, for those who are listening that might not know what, the Ironman is like, you know, you do one huge out and back in the ocean, right? And so I did my first out and back, and then you have to go out and back again. That makes it the two miles. And when I came back my first time, I kid you not, I saw a grown man crying in the fetal position on the beach in his wetsuit, crying. And I was like, oh man, what am I doing? What am I doing? This is a grown man crying over this thing. I mean, maybe he got hurt or something. I don't know. But all I know is he had quit. He stopped, and I was like, I can't quit no matter what. And right when I stepped into the water again and my feet just left the sand, I started convulsively throwing up, just vomiting like crazy.
Okay.
And so it was a reaction from the swallowing of the salt water. And I knew that, you know, mentally I wasn't freaking out, but I must have thrown up six times. I mean, not to get nasty, but I threw up like six times while I was swimming in this second round, and that's just so nasty. But the whole time I was totally calm, you know. I was just barfing in the ocean like, I got this, it's all good. It's all cool. I'm not gonna dehydrate, I'm fine. It's just, you know, salt water. So
now I'm really glad I didn't do the triathlon with you that year.
oh please, that's nothing. I'm sure there was tons of other stuff in the water. We don't want to go into that.
Exactly. Yeah. Things you don't think about. So yeah. So now everybody's withdrawing from Ironman Florida after they listen to this podcast. It's like, oh, there's gotta be a better way to do this.
Geez.
Yeah. There's a book written by, this guy, and he's an English fellow, and it's actually hysterical, but it basically recaps his Ironman training. And it is similar to, you know, like to most people that, you know, you never really, most people's weakest part is the swim.
Right.
You know,
it's
so
true.
And, you know, you're trying to, you know, to learn how to swim and to get into this, and then the fear of getting in. And, you know, it's just hysterical. I guess if you do this, it's hysterical to listen to somebody else's, you know, struggles as well, that you're not alone. But
it's scary, though. It can be scary, but so gratifying because you're an Ironman for life, right?
Yeah, you'll have to check this out. It's called Can't Swim, Can't Ride, Can't Run From Common Man to Ironman by Andy Holgate. I'll try to put it in the show notes. But it was, you know, it just had me laughing out loud, you know, what this guy was going through, you know, and, you know, leaving his wife, you know, kind of being a Sherpa and, you know, trying to follow what he was trying to do, but all the time thinking he was an idiot, you know. And so it's a funny read if you do this kind of thing for fun. So then moving on to your wife, who kind of was the impetus for all this, you know, she kind of went along with it, and she's noticed some improvement.
She has. You know, originally the first time around when we made the switch, we were able to get her off of those medications that she would have to take for the rest of her life, medications that have serious, you know, implications later in life. So you don't want to do those if you don't have to. Talking about steroids, talking about Imuran and Humira. I mean, these are all drugs that are very scary. But at the same time, it is a chronic illness that you have to maintain. You know, I'm always very wary to say you'll be able to cure yourself from this chronic illness by changing the way you eat. You know, once the body has started this this disease, it's very difficult to turn off. Now, you can turn it off, but you always have the possibility of having another flare. So you've got to be very careful with your lifestyle after that happens, because it can flare up again very easily. So, you know, Jen having a plant-based diet really helps keep things in check. And she was off her medication for a while. Now, remember, this huge flare happened after she had our first daughter, our 8-year-old. So that flare happened. We got it under control with diet and medication and left the medication, and now just straight diet. We adopted our second child, our son, and because the, you know, birth experience was so intense, so just traumatic. But then we wanted to continue our family, and so it was time for a conversation about our third child. And we said, okay, what are we going to do here? Let's chat with our medical professionals. So we started with them, and they gave us the green light to have another baby. So we were fortunate enough to get pregnant. And she had a VBAC birth, believe it or not, which I was so proud of her, because the first one was an emergency C-section, and now this and, you know, VBAC, vaginal birth after cesarean. I know you know what that means, but some of the listeners might not. And so that VBAC birth happened. Everything was perfect, and then she decided to start breastfeeding, and that's when things just turned south. She got 3 mastitis infections. And whenever you have those infections, it's extremely painful, and they hit you with medication, they hit you with drugs. And so that sent her gut flora into a tailspin, and then she had another flare, you know, sadly. And my son's 1.5 right now, so you can imagine how close that was. Mm. She's still recovering from that flare. It took you know, multiple things happened. There's something called a fissure, you know, that developed, and it's just extremely painful and just an absolute nightmare. And, you know, thank goodness we have Western medicine to help with those acute, extremely acute situations to get things under control. So right now she's tapering off of some prescription drugs, but at the same time maintaining her plant-based lifestyle. And I'm 100% confident that she'll be off of those prescription drugs in a little bit, but we have to work with our doctor and have that conversation continue to happen. He knows how we live our lives. He knows that the way we eat is important to us, and he knows that we want to be off those drugs immediately. And I'm so proud of her. You know, she takes so much responsibility for her own health, and says, "What am I doing? Everything I can do to make sure that I am as healthy as possible, not simply just taking the drugs." You know, seeing some improvement and saying, oh, well, the drugs did it. I don't have to do anything. I can keep eating, you know, burgers and pizza and just garbage. But she's never been like that. She's a trooper, and just so proud of her. She's incredible.
Well, that's wonderful. Yeah. I my hat's off to her, and, you know, certainly for being proactive, and, you know, best wishes. And, you know, I think that, you know, just as the further along you go and the more that she can build back her immune system, the better.
Yes, and, absolutely.
So things will just continue to get good. So that's really, really good.
Yeah. Well, thank you. She's a great woman. I'm so happy that we are a couple.
Yeah, it sounds like a great team. So what's next with the Lean Green Dad scene?
Lean Green Dad is me. I'm working on a book right now. It's fully written and it's in the design phase. We did our photo shoot at Whole Foods recently, and it is 15 quick and easy recipes that are all plant-based that kids and families can make together and love. So, you know, in those situations like I was talking about earlier, where you come home from school or dance or extracurricular activities and you don't know what to make, you have at least 15 solid recipes that you know are going to be good for you and your family, that you can whip up in 15 minutes or less. And that is, again, you know, where I kind of specialize in making those quick meals. So working with a dietitian that, you know, looked at everything, and we even went by the guidelines set by MyPlate, you know, the government thing that talks about your portions. And so I think it's the USDA that puts out the MyPlate.gov website that talks about a healthy plate. And really, it's very simple. It's four sections. You got whole grains, fruits, vegetables, and protein. And you don't need meat to be that protein. So, you know, beans, lots of different types of legumes, and even some tofu every now and then. You know, the fruits and all that stuff is wonderful too. And we have a little plate even that we got from my friends over at Super Healthy Kids that has the plate sectioned off with like cartoon pictures of each of the things. So the kids try to eat that stuff and, you know, get to the bottom of the plate. And so that's what our book is all about. And that should be available in early 2017. So it's been a labor of love for sure. It's so hard to write a book when you're actually in the middle of it, you know, when you're actually a busy dad. It's like you have extra time to do the podcast and the blog and stuff, but then you have to find extra time to actually write the book and put it together. So, but it's great when you love it and you're passionate about it, it comes a little easier. So that's what I've been working on. And, like I said, it's in the design phase now. We'll probably do a little, you know, one or two page ebook to kind of promote it. And then, we'll do the full printed version with a publisher and the whole nine yards, in early 2017.
Wonderful. So we'll find you, leanandgreendad.com.
Yeah. Just Lean Green. Lean, yeah. Green. Lean Green Dad. Okay, yeah. Leangreendad.com. And I'm Lean Green Dad on all the socials. So, you know, Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, Instagram, all that stuff. We even have a YouTube channel. So pretty much Lean Green Dad. If you search that anywhere, you'll find me. Well, I've got my trademark is just registered. So I'm super happy about that. I have a officially registered trademark on the word Lean Green Dad.
Perfect. I checked it out in your podcast and some of your recipes, and they look wonderful. So,
oh, thank you.
It looks great. I wish you all the luck in the world. And, you know, you're right up the road, so maybe we'll have to do some event together at some point and extend my, outward reach to the younger population a little bit, so we can get more people healthy before they get sick. That's you know, that's the goal, is to not have to reverse disease, but to prevent disease, so that you don't need the medical establishment.
Absolutely. Well, we'll have to get you out here on your bike in the Winter Garden area. We have the West Orange Trail here. It spans across multiple cities, and it's just a great, nice, shaded ride for most of it. So we'll have to get you out here and ride the bike together.
Perfect. All right. Well, good luck to you and your family, and thanks for taking time.
Thank you so much.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye. So, Corey and his family are, you know, great inspirations to everyone. It goes to prove that you can be plant-based with a small family and pull it off. You just have to have a little bit of planning. It doesn't have to be fancy. It can be pretty quick. You know, you can use some, you know, the Engine 2 products that Corey uses a lot are fantastic. They're traditionally without oil. So there are things out there that can help you. And then once you get those go-to meals together, you can kind of pull them off. And, you know, I loved his mini crock pot idea. I think I'm going to suggest that to some of my patients Certainly the, you know, people do the salads in the mason jars if you can get things going early enough. So I think that's some great ideas. And I think the quote of the day is plant-based lifestyle. I'll say it again. Plant-based lifestyle is all about love. Love for the planet, as he said, love for the animals, and love for your family. And you can show your love for your family by cooking healthy. It's not a penalty to provide good food that's pleasing to the eye, that tastes good to your family. It doesn't have to be junk food. And once you get past that mindset that things have to be greasy and gooey to be good, you'll start to really appreciate good food. And to me, there's nothing better than to put a dinner on the table that's pleasing to the eye, and sit down around a table and enjoy a nice meal that tastes good, and that you know you're healthy, you're eating healthy, and when you stand up from the dinner table, you still feel good, and you can go do something after dinner besides, you know, lay on the couch and wonder where your antacids are. So, nothing better. You know, again, check out Corey at leangreendad.com, and there's no "and" in there, as he said before. I messed it up earlier. It's Lean Green Dad. He's on all the social media. Look for his book that's coming out. Check out his podcast. Check out his blogs. There's some interesting thing there. If you have questions for me, you can contact me at jamiedulaney@gmail.com. It's jamiedulaney@gmail.com. And check out my website at drdulaney.com. Sign up for the newsletter. If you're in the area and you want to take our nutrition course, we'd love to have you. It's a 6-session course every Thursday night at 5:30. My meetup group is going to have some dinners here in town in November and December. So look at meetup.com at Charlotte County Plant-Based Foodies to find some of those dinners. You can also mark your calendar for January 21st, where we'll have our day-long nutrition seminar with Dr. Michael Clapper and Timmery Hegerberger. So keep all that on your calendar. Eat smart, get some exercise, do your push-ups, and I hope you have a great week. Talk to you later. Plan strong.